Please be seated. Whew, tongue twister. You may have noticed that the Gospel of John feels different from the other Gospels. The language feels different from the very start, with that poetic, "In the beginning was the Word," or as in this passage, where, as one scholar put it, the wording spirals around, seemingly repeating itself, yet moving forward to some new perspective. Written a bit later than the other Gospels, John sometimes emphasizes different material as well. Instead of detailing the Last Supper, John shows us Jesus washing his disciples' feet. And instead of Jesus inserting prayer instruction into a longer lecture, as in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, or the disciples asking Jesus to teach them how to pray, as in Luke, John shows Jesus praying for the disciples as his last act before going to be betrayed by Judas. And yet, however, the Gospels differ from each other. They point to the same Christ. However strange the Gospel of John feels at times, there's also something familiar. And so it is with this prayer. This is a prayer for us, not to memorize, thank goodness, as it begins before this with 5 verses on glory and goes on 7 more about unity. This is a prayer for the disciples to experience. And this prayer is not just for the disciples, but for us. In the next 2 verses that we didn't read, Jesus prays, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one." I wonder if hearing this prayer might allow us to experience those other Lord's prayers as being not just for us to do or say, but for us. A gift, an act of love, nourishment of words given by the word. So I invite you to reflect in this sermon about what words in this gospel passage resonate with the Lord's Prayer that you know. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. As a child, I used to think this was just part of a respectful address, not an actual petition. Something like a Game of Thrones honorific, like Daenerys Stormborn of the House Targaryen, first of her name, the Unburnt, Queen of the Andals and the First Men, Khaleesi of the Great Grass Sea, Breaker of Chains and Mother of Dragons. In the Small Catechism, however, Luther treats this as a request. Hallowed be thy name. And it's more than just help us not to curse. Luther says God's name is kept holy when the word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and we as the children of God also lead holy lives according to it. More meaningful than that extended honorific, Luther's interpretation is a bit heavy. Even if we are pleading for God's help, it seems like command veiled in prayer. How is that cathartic? Not that prayer must always make you feel better, but a prayer of confession would seem more honest. But in our passage from John, God's name is also invoked. But in this prayer, there's no ambiguity. This isn't a fancy title for God, nor is it a command wrapped in prayer. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. With Jesus' prayer fresh in our ears, how can we hear, hallowed be your name, as a plea for protection? For ourselves? For loved ones? Perhaps not physical protection. After all, in John, this is at the end of a lengthy farewell discourse, where Jesus has warned the disciples of all that will befall them, including death. Protection seems to be about unity, and holding them together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In the name you gave your Son, hold us together as the body of Christ. Protect us from fracture and also from false accord. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Luther explains that God's kingdom comes by itself, and the good and gracious will of God is done without our prayer. Phew. But we pray these petitions that the kingdom may come to us and God's will be done among us also. According to Luther, God's kingdom comes when we are given the Holy Spirit, so that by grace we believe God's word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. God's will is done when God breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, and when God strengthens and keeps us firm in faith. And here I see similarities between Luther's interpretation and the prayer we hear in John. In John, the tension between what is and what God wants is captured by the repeated references to the world. And yet God's love for this same world, the one that has hated Jesus and his disciples, is also evident. In verse 15, Jesus is clear, "I'm not asking you to take them out of the world." And in verse 18, the disciples are even part of bringing God's kingdom and will. "As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." Still heavy stuff. There's a line in Jesus' prayer, however, that promises more. Mid-prayer in verse 13, Jesus says, "I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves." Joy? Joy. Joy even in the shadow of the cross. Joy for us. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Keep us, minds, hearts, and hands in your words, that we might have your mysterious joy. Continue to nourish us, minds, hearts, and hands in your words, that your joy is made complete. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Finish thy new creation. Give us this day our daily bread. In his explanation to this petition, Luther focuses our attention on everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, from food and drink to government and weather. I think I've joked with you before, but this has always been my favorite part of the traditional Lord's Prayer. But in John, there is a different focus. Jesus has given them words from God and the truth that God sent Christ to them. For me, here John is channeling Matthew and Luke's accounts, where Jesus says that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The words and the truth have been given, past tense. And it would seem that for John, this is a thanksgiving rather than a petition. And so these familiar words made strange nourish us in a new way. Thank you for your word and your truth that finds us each day. Then our normal prayer goes, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." But in John, it doesn't seem like he has sin or trespasses or forgiveness. Still, there's something familiar in that spiraling, repetitive language. It calls to mind the mutuality and reciprocity that is used throughout the Gospel of John. "Abide in me as I abide in you, that they may be one as we are one." Holding that mutuality in mind might help us better understand trespasses and forgiveness. Our interests are bound together as the body of Christ. Holding that unity takes repair work when we've set our interests above our neighbors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In a 2017 interview, Pope Francis suggested an update to the traditional prayer for the sake of theological clarity, to make it clear that God would not lead anybody toward sin. A better translation might be, do not let us fall into temptation. I sort of think the Pope's been reading Luther's Small Catechism. And I suspect both immersed themselves in John. I am brought back to verse 15. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. Temptation will come. Faith is not fire insurance. The Christian life is not easy, and there is work to be done. But I ask you to protect them from the evil one. In the words of Luther, we pray that God guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame or vice. And although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we remember who and whose we are. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Keep us whole. And in John, Jesus prays for more than protection. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Make us holy. Today, rest in the prayer that Jesus prayed for you. And when you hear the more familiar version of the Lord's Prayer, may you say it for your neighbor. May you hear it for yourself. Let us pray. Our Father, in the name you gave your Son, hold us together as the body of Christ. Protect us from fracture and also from false accord. Make your joy complete in us. Thank you for your word and your truth that finds us each day. Find us again when we falter and empower us to do the necessary repair work. Keep us whole, make us holy, and send us. Amen.